Father, we thank you for the enrichment of your grace and the release of your wisdom. There is not of him that runneth, nor him that willeth, but it is God that showeth mercy. For it is you that showeth mercy. It is you that showeth mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Kabasu take it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus. Glory. So you can take your seat. Hallelujah. I want you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 29. I'm 1 Chronicles 29. How many of you are following the 1-year Bible plan? How many of you are sincerely following? If you are not following, don't raise your hand. If you are sincerely following the 1-year Bible plan, rise to your feet. Okay. What it means is that you are not reading your Bible. Do you see it? You are not reading your Bible. So, and you are reading the material, you've seen that I'm talking about the Word of God. And for the past, how many days now that I've been talking about the Word? No. I mean, I've been talking specifically on the Word of God. I mean, today is the 28th. Yeah, for 28 days, I've been talking specifically on the Word of God. And even yesterday or something, I made emphasis on following the Bible plan. You see, how many of you know that anything God tells us to do, it is because he has designed that it has to profit us? How many of you believe that? Okay, so those that don't believe, what do you believe? I'm asking again. How many of you believe that whatever God tells us to do, it is with the intention that it has to help you? If I raise your hand, raise it better so that I'll know. All right. So, for the number of times we've been in ministry, we've been in church, have you ever heard me say that we are having 1-year Bible reading plan? I always tell you to read your Bible, but to initiate a Bible reading plan, I've not, except this year, because this year is a unique year. And interestingly, you are not following the Bible reading plan. You see? So as you are not following the Bible reading plan, you've already not utilized a weapon God wants to give to you. Because if you are really following, what will happen to you is that there are issues, there are things you'll be coming across. There are things you'll be seeing which would help your walk with God. You see, it will be helping your walk with God, but you are not reading, so you are not exposed. I was speaking to a brother yesterday, and I was saying that in experiencing wonder, divine wonder, there is the need for obedience, because disobedience will not bring you into manifestation. And I explained that disobedience is not necessarily not doing what God has said. It is also not knowing what God has said. Not knowing what God has said is also part of disobedience. Just the fact that the fact that you don't know. Do you see it? So having the knowledge, is the beginning of obedience. Because obedience in the Greek means hupakoe, which means to hear under faith. So if you've not even heard, how can you experience obedience? So if we are investing the preciousness of time to make verities available. And I remember about 2 weeks ago or so, I spoke to you about having a successful 30 days and ensuring that for consecutive 30 days you are going to see changes and difference in your life. you're going to allow the word of God to have absolute control of success in your life. You see. So those of you standing, may the Lord himself cause his face to shine upon you as you've been diligent to follow his word. May every grace the Lord had purposed to be dispensed unto those that follow that instruction, the purpose for that instruction, may it be fulfilled in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may the Lord hand over truth and verities to you. I pray deeply from my heart to you that the Lord hand over verities, deep and rich knowledge to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so you can take your seat. So, you know, it's very crucial when you are not, like we saw in Isaiah 8. Let's read Isaiah 8 again. Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Do you remember the scripture? Some of you have forgotten. The pain of every good teacher is having students who don't value and commit themselves to what you teach them. That is the pain of every good teacher. So if you ask me what my pain has always been, is how I spend time to bring you divine truth and then you don't value it. That is my greatest pain in ministry. It's my greatest pain in ministry is having people who don't value the things you share with them. And one of the ways you value what I share with you is how you commit it to heart. He said, my son, incline your ears to my sayings. You see? He said, let them not depart from thy eyes. He said, don't let it depart from your eyes. You see? Proverbs 4. So that is one of the pain of every good teacher of the word of God. Is that because to experience manifestation of God's word is as a result of how the people are taking the word. Else, it will look like the word is without power. But the word has the power, has the ability to bring transformation. But the question is, have you committed your heart to that word? You see, you can be around a good message, like Judas. Judas was around Jesus. You see, so, well, I'm not those men of God that will ever beat themselves that people did not experience results in their meetings. No, because I know people experience results. I receive countless testimonies, amazing testimonies from people who listen to what I share with them. You know, so I will never in my life beat myself that, oh, some people have been around and didn't experience any transformation. No, it's not one of the things I will ever do. Jesus never beat himself up for what Judas did. He never beat himself up for what the others did. There were times there were people that left Jesus. They left him. He never beat himself up. He continued in his word. So that's one important thing I want you to know. However, it's still a pain that we keep sharing so much with you, and yet you practice little of what is being shared with you. And even it's not even just about the practice. It's about you committing yourself to that word. It's you committing yourself to that word. You know, like we are reading, you want to see so much happen to you. It can't happen. I'm telling the truth. It can't happen when you don't commit yourself to be diligent to follow the precepts. It can't happen. You see, it can't happen because the secret that will make it happen is the word of God, is the instruction that has been given to you. That's the secret. You see, that's the secret that will make it happen. But for me to share God's word with you is not exum for me. I'll continue to share the word of God with you. You see, and as many that would be yielding, and they'll get the results. They will see the manifestation. If you are seeing transformation from God's word, now what it means is that it is possible you can see more things, more greater things happen in your life, if only. You see, because the word of God is the seed. Your heart is the field. So, most of the times, the issue is not the seed. The problem is not the seed. It's always the field. Like Jesus said, when the story of the farmer that went about to sow seeds, that some fell on the wayside, some fell among thorns, some fell on the good soil, and some fell among rocks and all that. The problem was not the seed. It was the same seed, but the seed fell on different soil, and the grounds of the soil determined the success of that seed. So the point is not really, the challenge is not the word of God. The challenge is who is receiving that word. What is a person doing with that word? And interestingly, now we are at 2 Kings, I think chapter 6, right? Or 6 to 7, yes. Chapter 6 to 7. I'm in Ezra. That's how serious it is. I'm in Ezra. You see. So this is why people don't see impact. They are too busy. How many minutes will it take you to read the scriptures? How many minutes will it take you to read two chapters of the Bible? How many minutes? And look at the number of minutes you use to watch videos and chat with people. But how many minutes will it take you to read two chapters of the Bible? How many minutes? The number of hours you spend on phone calls. How many minutes will it take you to read two chapters? Just two chapters or three chapters. I've been doing three chapters already. Weekends, there are some weekends I do it four. Sundays, I do it two. Sometimes I do it one. Depending on the storyline, I do it one. Sometimes I do it two. Sundays, I've not even gone beyond two. Saturdays, sometimes three, sometimes four. On weekdays, three. And at times, the chapters are more. The verses in the chapter are so long. So what I would do is that I would reduce it to two. You see? I'll reduce it to two. There is something, you would discover a lot of things you've never discovered. There are some of you ended at Exodus. At Exodus, you finished your Bible reading. These are things that train your heart. They help that you train your heart to be diligent with God. Just by being diligent to listen to read the scriptures. Reading is different from audio Bible. Audio Bible, your mind, your eyes are not there. When your eyes cannot see it, you can't be doing audio Bible and then you are doing other things. You are not reading. You are not involved. Spare time. Don't be too busy. Audio Bible should be addition of what you've done. Spare time. Because brethren, a certain day of adversity is going to come. And the things you've dug out from the scriptures are going to save you that day. They're going to save you that day. Don't joke with life. Life is a sensitive thing. You know, let me tell you, a person in a day, in a twinkle of an eye, can lose his life. Or her life, like just like that. And that is why you should not joke with spiritual investment. All this kokoti, and you are not doing what God's way. Listen, in a day, like you just go. The day of adversity is not always maybe sickness, disease, or something. Sometimes, even at a job interview, you need to answer a question. But because you've been exposed, see, the word of God, you are not following the material too. Because if you are following the Makira, you will have the godly fear to read your Bible. If you are sincerely following the Makira, you will have the godly fear. Because all I'm talking about is the word of God, the importance. I spoke about the word of God as a medicine. I've spoken about the word of God as a sword, as a surgeon's scalpel. I've spoken of it as the elixir of health, as the constitution of God's wisdom. So when you are confronted by life situations and you are looking for wisdom, you know, recently one of you just sent me a message that there was a matter and I just shared a thought with a person. There were issues. And he replied that, thank you so much for your wisdom. The whole world must hear this wisdom. You know, I was like, glory to God. But I know clearly, whatever I was telling the person is as a result of things that I read from the Bible. Anything I tell you, when you come to me and you're talking about a matter, anything I will tell you, they are aggregation of thoughts from the scriptures. It's so serious that my vocabularies are scriptures. I don't read English Bible, or if I'm writing, my vocabularies are scriptures. About 99.9% of my vocabularies are from the Bible. If not for King James translation, is from another translation of the Bible. That is where my vocabularies come from. If I'm writing, or that's where my vocabularies come from. Any English, those times they used to say that I speak big, big English. All those big, big English were coming from the Bible. I speak Bible English. Next time it's a brofu, I speak Bible English. That's all. It's Bible English I speak. I saw a video a lady made, and it was so on spot. Like, it was it. concise. She said, when God was creating the fish, called the fish out of the sea. When God was creating, you know, mentioned some other things, he said, called them out of, you see. But when God was creating man, he spoke to himself. When God wanted to create the fish, God spoke to the sea. But when God wanted to make man, God spoke to himself. Which means that man's environment for growth and nourishment is in God. And that really reached my heart. Where did that lady gain that understanding from? Not from encyclopedia out there, from the scriptures. That when God was creating, needed fish, spoke to the sea. But when God wanted to make man, he spoke to himself. And that shows the source of man. That shows the environment where environment for man's survival and man's living. It's in God. How do you then now assess God? You don't assess God by visiting your hometown. You assess God first of all through the scriptures. It's not even by interacting with the man of God. It's first of all the scriptures. You see, because if you are not a man of the Bible, if you are not a person who is committed to the Bible, you are not committed to the voice of God. You always be open. You have your own opinion than God's opinion. You will hear your voice than the voice of God. Your thoughts will replace God's thoughts instead of the thoughts of God consuming or overwhelming you. Your personal thoughts becomes the thoughts of God. It is the Bible that cultivates you. See, it's the word of God that will cultivate you. It's the word of God that will shape your mind. It's the word of God that will train you. So now that you are not even reading your Bible, all the big things you say you are going to do, how are you going to do them? Because that's the difference between David and his brothers. When you read Psalm 119, you're going to see a lot of things, or the book of Psalms, you're going to see a lot of things that this, you know, mighty man of God yielded to. How the scriptures influence his life. You see, there's some sickness that will not have a place in your life. There are some things that will not have a space in your life. Why? Because you have given yourself to the scriptures. And like I said, you know, now I have to spend all this time to talk about this. Meanwhile, I came to share some few things with you, but I have to spend all this time to talk about this. You see? Because what was the need for additional teaching when what you've received, you've not upheld it with much sincerity of heart? Look at it again, Isaiah 8. Verse 19. He says, when people, I'm reading for the Message translation. If you have your you can look it up in the Message translation. He says, when people tell you, try out the fortune tellers, consult the spiritualists, why not tap into the spirit world? Get in touch with the dead. So people will tell you to consult other spirits, consult some spiritualists so that you can have power, so you can have results. You know, he says that when people tell you, try out the fortune tellers, consult the spiritualists, why not tap into the spirit world? Get in touch with the dead. Tell them, no, we are going to study the scriptures. So, he says, what replaces consulting a spiritualist is studying the scriptures. What will replace consulting a fortune teller is studying the scriptures. Instead of going to a fortune teller, go and study the scriptures. Because the scriptures carries in themselves answers for your living. So, most of the answers you are looking for, they are in the scriptures. They are in the word of God. Until you yield yourself to it, until you give yourself to it, you will not ascend. You will not rise. You will be crippling and crawling, and you will be living a rising and falling life. When you are given to God's word, your life becomes upward and forward. You live a forward life. Am I saying there will not be difficulty? There will be difficulties. There will be challenges, but you become tougher. Robert Schuller said, tough times never last, but tough people do. What makes you tough? The word of God. I read that material a long time ago, and that is why I've never been afraid of season of challenges. That if I have a season where there's an issue and things are not going on, I'm not worried, because definitely it will not last. There will always be a day out of that moment. There will always be a day out. How? Because the scriptures had fed my spirit with this truth. So the way you are not reading your Bible is very dangerous. Do you hear what I said? See, it is very dangerous. Like, the level of foolishness you are exposing your spirit to is scary. Be a student of the Word of God. You see, whether you like it or not, in life, you are a student of something. You are a student of something. The Bible says that for all the things that were written, they were written for our learning. Do you see it? They are written for our learning. So now, if you are not reading it, you are not learning them. And the reason I want you to read the scripture is that I don't want you to live your life on a hearsay. I want you to prove the counsel of God for yourself. Hallelujah. I saw your hair. Did not commit themselves to study. Commit yourself to study. Those who pursue spiritualists, fortune tellers, and all this, they have not committed themselves to study. But for us, we don't give ourselves to those things. Why? Because we've committed ourselves to the study. Study of biology? No. Study of Espanol? No. Study of occupational therapy? No. Study of the scriptures. Because in them are the deep things of God. So how can one know that which is the mind of a person? He says, save the spirit of that man. He said, for we have not received the spirit of this world, but we have received the spirit of the Lord. He said, the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So where in your spirit, the Holy Ghost is mingled with your spirit in you. When situations come up, the Holy Ghost has to search within your spirit to pick up answers from your spirit. And which answers would the Holy Spirit pick? The scriptures you've imbibed they are the ones the Holy Spirit will search out and hand over in the day of adversity. So when you're not reading the scriptures, when situations come up, there is nothing in your spirit that the Holy Ghost will pick out. Imagine Jesus did not give himself to the study of scriptures. You see, even though Jesus was the Word of God, or is the Word of God made flesh, Jesus had to give himself to the study of the scriptures. It was so serious. So when the adversary came, the adversary, see, you don't know. The adversary comes to argue matters with you also with scriptures. He can argue matters with you with scriptures. And when you don't know, how do you address those issues? Because we saw from Ahira that the scriptures, or the word of God on your lip, is a sword. But how can the word be on your lip if it's not in your heart? If the word is not in your heart, it cannot be on your lip. It will not be on your lip. You cannot have the rhema of God when you don't have his logos. So you end up having, most of your times, most of the things you hear as God told me, will not be the word of God. Because it has not been sieved. It has not been divided by the scriptures. It has not been measured and pruned. Recently, when the Holy Ghost was dealing with me on, you know, something, I work in silence. People go like, work in silence. And then people will see your impact, right? He said, who was correcting me? He didn't use worldly stuff to correct me. He used the scriptures to correct me. He said, Jesus said, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. It is not a silence. Yes, you may have a season of preparation. But until you step out there to cause your light to shine, nobody will see the light you carry. Nobody knew the capacity of David. All his brothers didn't even know his capacity. All they knew he could do was to tend the small flock. So when he was going to confront Goliath, or was inquiring of how he can go out there to confront Goliath, his brothers asked him, who did you leave those small flock to? Who is going to handle your small flock? So per his brothers, David was a shepherd boy who doesn't even handle big flock. He's a shepherd boy for the small flock. But the small flock he was handling was a training. And now it's time for manifestation. Imagine David was so high, they said, oh, Goliath will die. I will not step on the scene. But from where I'm standing, I will speak words and Goliath will die. I will throw stone from somewhere to hit Goliath. No, he must step out there. And how did that happen? He's imbibed God's word. You see, his brothers did not know the intensity of God's word. How you can move in the name of the Lord. How you can do things in the name. He didn't know, but David knew it. How? He found it in the scriptures. He found it in the scriptures. For many years, the Jews were in slavery in Babylon. And God had given a prophetic word. The prophet had written, oh, thank you, Jesus. The prophet had written the words down. They wrote these things down in the scriptures.
and many years, they had lived beyond the time they should be in Babylon. And they were comfortably in Babylon as slaves. And Daniel, reading the scriptures, realized that they have spent their time in Babylon beyond. They've been in slavery, or they've been in exile beyond the number of days God had apportioned. And by that revelation, he went into prayer. I've told you before that we don't just pray. We pray the scriptures. You pray God's word. You pray the word of God. So when Daniel saw that, oh, not knowing God has the time for us to be out of slavery and out of exile had passed, he went in to pray. The Bible says, for Daniel understood by books. There is an understanding that comes to you through the reading of the scriptures, because the scriptures, this is an aggregation of books of God. You don't have the Bible in you, you are empty. You can have all the Holy Ghost, you are empty, because the Holy Ghost must brood, must work with a word. In case you don't know, in creation, the Bible says, and when it said the earth was without form and was void, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. Let me tell you, if the Spirit was hovering and God had not spoken, the Spirit will be hovering till today. So there are some of you, there is an anointing of the Holy Ghost in your life. There's a strong anointing of God in your life. But the point is, how is the word prevailing with that anointing? The word of God must come in agreement with the power of God, because the word in itself is power. So when the Spirit was hovering, then God said, let there be. Then there was a reaction. The word of God. Do you have God's word in your heart? How are you committed to the study of God's word? How are you committed to the study of God's word? It's what God has put in your heart that you will manifest. And how does God put in your heart? He puts in your heart through the scriptures, and it begins to shape your mind. He said, look at it. Timothy. Look at what Paul told Timothy.
Is the lamp of God sits upon the throne.
2 Timothy 3.
You alone worthy of. The Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. You alone worthy of our praise.
2 Timothy 3, verse 14. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned. Do you see it? And be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Then look at this. It says, verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ. Are you sure you are here? Come on. It doesn't sound like you are here. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
And from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. They are able to make you wise. They are able to make you wise. The questions about life are answered. Look at what it says in Proverbs. I told you Thursday is faith impartation service. Thursday service will start at 5:30. So wherever you are, take excuse, take permission, and be in service on Thursday. Proverbs 1, verse 2. I read from the Passion Translation. It says, within these sayings will be found the revelation of wisdom. Are you sure you are here? He says, and the impartation of spiritual understanding. He said, use them as keys to unlock the treasures of true knowledge. So by what you glean from the scriptures, you are able to unlock treasures of true knowledge. He said, those who cling to these words will receive discipline. To demonstrate wisdom in every relationship. You see, the word of God has a way of shaping your social life. Do you hear what I said? When you study God's word, it can shape your social life. There's some mistakes you don't make. Those who cling to these words will receive discipline. You see, to demonstrate wisdom. So in every relationship, there is a wisdom to demonstrate. There's a wisdom to demonstrate. You will not be a youth that talks anyhow. Because when you study the scriptures, you will find Job 32. You will find the story of Elihu, who waited for the aged to speak before he began to speak. He said, to choose what is right and just and fair. So these proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise. Now, do you see how I'm able to build others? The secret in building others is imbibing God's word. A man of the word is years ahead of the generations he's in. You are ahead of your generation. Because the scriptures are the utterance of ageless wisdom, the ancient counsel of God. So when you begin to speak the scriptures, speak the word of God, you have outlived your generation. It means you have both hindsight, insight, and foresight. And that's how you can gain oversight in your generation. These proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise, to give youth the understanding of their design and destiny. This is how, do you see the secret?
Yes.
To give the youth, so someone when you wake up and say that men that were weakling, men that were in debt, men that were destitute and desperate came to David, and later you find out that David made mighty men out of them. How did he make mighty men out of them? Because he, David himself, has understanding through the scriptures. He said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It gives light. This is the secret of a flourished life. Because he says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. You bear fruit in season. So you see, because the word of God has filled your heart, say, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Because God's word has indwelled you richly, you flourish. You become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So your leaves shall not wither. So whatsoever you do, you prosper. You don't know discouragement. You know how to build. Because you've been taught through God's word. You have accessed wisdom. You have accessed wisdom. Do you see? Ha! So to give youth the understanding of their design and destiny. So for the wise, these proverbs will make you even wiser. And for those with discernment, you will be able to acquire brilliant strategies for leadership. You'll be able to acquire. So you want to lead a generation. This is the beginning of leading a generation. Becoming a man of the word. You see? He said, these kingdom revelations will break open your understanding to unveil the deeper meaning of parables, kai, poetic riddles, and epigrams, and to unravel the words and enigmas of the wise. How then does a man gain the essence of wisdom? We cross the threshold of true knowledge when we live in obedient devotion to God. He says, stubborn know-it-alls will never stop to do this, for they scorn true wisdom and knowledge. They are like, they know it all. They are talking. See, we are not talking the Bible. Put the Bible aside. Thank you, Jesus. Liga basataya. So the next generation, what are you passing on to them? Look at chapter 2. From verse 1. My child, will you treasure my wisdom? Then and only then will you acquire it. And only if you accept my advice and hide it within will you succeed. So train your heart to listen when I speak and open your spirit wide to expand your discernment. Then pass it on to your sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 6 of chapter 2. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God, and every word he speaks is full of revelation and becomes a fountain of understanding within you. Fountain of understanding. The word of God brings a fountain of understanding within you. Makabasote, brother. So it's a dangerous thing when you're not reading your Bible. I show you here.
Yes, sir.
It's a dangerous thing. I showed you from the Mahira. I said, the word of God is a medicine. See, the word of God is a medicine. Medicine for your health. Medicine for your destiny. That's what the word of God is. That's what the word of God is. Do you see it? So imagine a life without the word. Abraham, imagine. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things. So have you given yourself to God's word? Or have you given yourself to the thought patterns of this world? You keep meditating. You keep meditating. You keep thinking. You keep thinking the scriptures. You keep speaking the scriptures. You see, you haggah it. You vocalize it. Are you sure you are here? He said, he has said that I may boldly say. Now I ask you, if you don't read and study to find out what he has said, how will you be able to say boldly? The word is homologia, to say what God has said. It means you come in agreement with God's word. How can you come into agreement with God's thought patterns when you have not yet been exposed to that thought pattern? Your life is a product of the light of God in your life. It's his word that brings the light in your life. How do you deal with your friends? How do you deal with your peers? How do you deal with your work colleagues? How do you deal with your generational fellows? How do you deal with those that have gone ahead of you? How do you deal with life situations? How do you relate with money? How do you relate with people? How do you connect to situations? How do you handle daily matters? There are times I've prayed for people, and some of the things I did were things I saw in scriptures. Not even from the Old Testament. Sometimes you go some corner be in the Old Testament portion of the Bible as you are reading. And if you are not reading systematically, you will not come. There are secrets. Do you hear what I said? I said, there are secrets in this life. There are secrets. And God has not hidden any secret from us. He's encoded them in the scriptures. And you must search them out. Have the patience to read. You cannot spend 2 hours in your day to read the Bible. 2 hours isn't too much. 1 hour. And decide that you are memorizing a scripture every week. Every week. One scripture. You not even every day. Every week you are meditating on one scripture. Since you are more busier than God. Every day. You don't every week. Meditate on one scripture. Imbibe that scripture. Masticate it. All these things that you see scriptures and you post on your status and you even forget it after 2 weeks. And now a couple, you didn't even see you. Maybe you came to church and it was read to you. It shouldn't be that the last time you read your Bible was the last week Sunday. Have a hard copy Bible. Let the Bible know you. Know the Bible. Know it. Let the Bible know you. Mark it. It's your Bible. Mark it. Since I am here, you have to read your Bible. I said, you have to read your Bible. You see, it's the beginning of your spiritual growth. We talk about prayer. I'm also talking to you about reading your Bible. So you read your Bible. You pray. You listen to the messages. You follow the ministry materials. You see, you follow it. That's how you become a diligent student of the word. Now, nobody has an excuse of Bible study. You don't have that excuse. You have the Mahira. You don't need to struggle with Bible study. There is plenty for you to study. Now, if you want to study the word of God, look at dig deeper. The number of scriptures I've made available from the dig deeper alone. If you want to know what is the Bible, what is the word of God? I want to know the word of God. You want to know about love. You want to know about how to wage warfare. You are like, my life is not fruitful. I want to bear fruit. Go to the Mahira. You have about 22 articles on bearing fruit alone. Like I'm talking now, somebody, oh Charlie, I am going to read. God, I will read. God, I'm sorry. I will read your Bible, okay? I will read. Is it the first time you said that? It's time to act. Don't make phone calls than the number of minutes you've read your Bible. You wake up and the first thing you think about is the food to eat. No time to prep your spirit for the day. No sword in your mouth. I don't study for what do you call it?
preaching. What I'm sharing with you, it's not like I've done a study to come and preach. I don't study for preaching. I study for myself. I'm hungry for knowledge. I want to know God. So whatever I share with you is what I've studied for myself. I ask questions. I know there are enigmas. I know there are hard sentences that needs to be dissolved. So I study. The richness of your mind is by how the word of God has invaded your heart. How the word of God has invaded your heart. How the word of God has invaded your heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in my life forever. Forever, O Lord, O Lord, your word is settled in my life, in my, oh, forever. Oh Lord, oh, oh Lord, your word is settled in my life, in my, oh, forever. Oh, people wants to do something great, they sow a seed. You see, when you allow the scriptures to program your mind, you get to realize that the things that has to do with God must be done greatly. I was going to teach you doing great things for God. That's the message I was going to teach you today. Doing great things for God. But you want to do great things for God, and the mirror that will help you see the greatness of things to do, you don't read it. Then why are you not thinking of doing great things? Doing great things for God. Don't miss Thursday's meeting. Makatabaya. Thursday meeting is for those who want to do great things for God. Hey! Have you done great things before? That's the question you should ask yourself. Have you done great things before? It's time to do great things for God. Until you take a step to do something great for God, you remain where you are. Life can be a cycle, and that cycle can repeat itself over and over, and there will be no difference. The differences you see are the cycles, because life is a cycle. But now you can break from one cycle to another cycle when you give yourself to the knowledge of His word. You will know how. Don't joke with the scriptures. So. It is our incantation. Scriptures. The Jews didn't joke with it. They didn't joke with the scriptures. They bind it on their thigh. Some bind it on their forehead. And on their doorposts. Everywhere. They paste it everywhere. So that they can continue meditating. Meditation is not for Buddhists. When the spirit was hovering over the waters, meditation was ongoing. Through meditation, you incubate the word, the seed of the word. I was going to explain that to do great things, one of the first things to do is to see. But how can you see? What can you see? How can you see? If you don't live the scriptures and you live an ordinary life, it's time to break from certain cycles to initiate a new cycle in your life. You see? Initiate a new cycle in your life.
You've been doing this thing. Listen, you want to be successful. You want to do great things. You want to achieve more. Listen, you've been doing this same thing for a long time. Not reading your Bible. You've been doing it for a long time. And that is why you are what you are. You've not gone beyond a certain level. Anybody in Christ doing more, they don't think people, there are things they are engaging in their spirit. You wake up in the morning, you are at home. What are you doing? Or you go to the office or something. Even before you go to office, you are at home. What are you doing? What are you doing? You lie down and worried and troubled about how your life is going and how your friends are all growing and they are living. Your peers are married and your peers have gone ahead of you and your peers are what? They are owners of companies and your peers are... What are you imbibing? Train yourself with the word. Because your season of harvest is near. If you fail to train yourself in God's word, you will not even understand or you will not even see the season of harvest. Because the word of God gives you understanding. He said, the children of Issachar, they understood the times and seasons. How were they able to understand? How did Daniel understand? How did he understand? You go to the book of Ezra. Ezra was an elite, a learned man. You know, after Jesus had performed some miracles, then you find the scripture says that the scriptures may be fulfilled. You find the Bible says that. He said, and they understood what the scriptures had said. For every single individual, listen, anyone you ever meet in life, anyone you have, starting from your parents, to your siblings, to anybody you ever meet in life, all these characters are in the Bible. There is no single human behavior you will not find in the scriptures. No single human behavior. What are the human behaviors you know? Mention them. You are looking for each other. Don't you have a behavior? You are looking for someone. Mention your own behavior. All of you seated here are in scriptures. No one time I told you that you can identify your life in the scriptures. You can identify your life in the scriptures. You can pattern your life in the scriptures and follow, and you will see. Now, times there may be two characters in the Bible. You can find out that, no, this person, the way this person behaves, the way they want to behave, I can relate. I can relate with their life. I can relate with their life. Like some of you, you think like cowards, you cannot do anything. Don't worry, your characters are in the Bible. If you go to the 12 spies, you will find your character. You will find the grasshopper mentality. You will find it there. That you hear global icons, you go like, hey, me, I cannot be part of, you know. You will find your character. Your character is there. So we are not surprised that you say you cannot be part. Because you have a grasshopper mentality. It is there. It's written black and white. You see. If you are stingy, we don't have to talk plenty. We know the destiny of stingy people. You see, if you give your life to God, for God to use, we know your destiny. We know your destiny. If you're a kingdom financier, you are a giver, we know your destiny. If you give grudgingly, we know your destiny. We know it. Sometimes you don't even need a prophet. The Bible is a prophet enough. If you look into the Bible and you are sincere, you can tell your future. I know my future. You can tell your future. You can tell the way your life is going. How you keep insulting everybody, we can tell your future. How you keep dishonoring authority, we know. You can find Absalom. You can be very handsome. You have all the attraction and, you know, people fear you and all that. And we know your future. Brother Absalom is there. We know Absalom. We know Absalom. All the seed, there are secrets. When you find yourself in certain trouble, there are secrets that will save you. Go and find it yourself. Go and find it yourself. Read the Bible. Yes, there are secrets. If you are lazy, we know your future. You know your future according to the scriptures. And if you want to deal with laziness, the answers are there. If you are working for somebody, the person is not paying you for a very long time. There are secrets to what to do to be richer than the person. It's there. You see? It's there. It's there. Some of you can realize that the way your life is going, it has been like Jacob. You see? There are prophets over your life, yet you've been a swindler for a very long time. And you realize there's a point God is calling you. So you know what to do to change the path of your destiny. From becoming a swindler, Azan, use it, to becoming one who has power, a prince that has power with God. There is what to do. Some of the things you are crying about, the solution is in the scripture, but you will not read your Bible. You will not read your Bible. Recently, one of the brethren read the story, I think, 1 Samuel, when Samuel was going to anoint David, and the instruction God gave to Samuel. Do you see it? When the fellow read it, one of the brethren leaders here read it, it was like, he has found a strategy to all leadership problem. You see, when you read, they are simple things. But when you read, you face solutions to your life, to your leadership, to things to do. If you read scriptures, you find a lot of solutions. How you will not even get raped. You will see the life of a rapist in the scripture. So if you're a lady and you see a rapist talking to you, saying some things to you, when you read the Bible, you will know that this is a rapist. You will see a rapist. Whether the person is your brother or sister, you will see that this one is a rapist. Because these are the things the scriptures have shown about rapists. If you are someone who you don't have a mind of your own, every day your friends are controlling you. The scriptures have shown how to deal with your friends. Which other problem again? You struggle to give. You don't know how to give. Scriptures have provided solutions. How to develop giving habits. Whatever you are looking for in life, scriptures have provided. Study the scriptures. Though the central theme of the Bible is the gospel of Jesus. In presenting the gospel, there were life situations. All right? The Lord brought in life situations of different people. You will know different kinds of prayers to pray at every time in your life. If you are attentive and you are reading the scriptures, you will see that by the time you are done reading the scriptures, the Bible, like 3 times, you see your life is organized. You have the path of your life, like the pattern of your life is well spelled out. Are you ready for big things? A glorious month is coming. Yes. June is a glorious month. It's a glorious month. Glorious things are going to happen. Some of you are going to move from 10 to 20, 20 to 100. 100 to 500. Kabarata bayaba. Oh, Zalebosh kabahata. The name of the Lord will be exalted in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your right hand. Begin to talk to God. 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 Oh, what a service. What an instructional service. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. I asked you to open to 1 Chronicles 29. Let me not leave it in the air. Let me still read it. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 1. It says, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Anything that is for God is great. And anything God will tell you to do, you will need him to do it. When God tells you to do something and you can do it without God, there is no God that told you, then there are normal things to do in life. Anything concerning the fulfillment of your life, anything God will tell you to do, your strength cannot do it. God will not tell you to do something for him that you will not need him. Anything you will do for God that is really for God, you will need God to do it. God doesn't do cheap things. God does great things. And anytime God does great things. You look at the things the Lord has done, they are all great things. They are things that will cause men to marvel. It has to be done, then you say, it's a marvelous thing. This is glorious thing. This is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You see that you'll be part of it, but it will still amaze you. It will overwhelm you. I show you here. He said, for that which the Lord has said we should do, he said, it's a great work. Why is it a great work? Because it's for the Lord and not for man. So if you are doing something for the Lord, you must know that it's a great work. Anything great you have to do with the Lord, you need the Lord. And you see, a lot of people are careful to attempt great things because of what people will say, because of their failure. Imagine David going to kill Goliath. It was a great thing he was attempting. And this was not a fight that was going to be fight in the backyard, where if Goliath beats him, nobody will see. This is an open fight. Open fight. I dare to do great things. I dare to do great things. Some of you are receiving fresh ability. Fresh ability. Fresh ability. You might not have had the desire to do, but now that desire is being stirred up in your heart. A desire is being stirred up in you. A desire is being stirred up in you. Hey! You see, when it comes to doing big things, I think you see, I'll share some few things to you. I've told you, I tell you this faith impartation. But look at this. It is, if you read First Chronicles, he spoke about money.
Money is part of the things you need. Grace is part of the things you need. I said, there's nothing we do for God that is cheap. People are part. To dare to achieve great things, people, money. You see, if you are doing anything for God, it must be beautiful. It's out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Do you see it? Out of Zion, the epitome of beauty. So we have come to Mount Zion. He said, he has sent forth saviors from Zion. We are sent forth as saviors from Zion. What we do must come with excellence. Excellence. So in your mind, don't withdraw. Don't retrogress. Don't set up a setback. Don't say, oh, it cannot be possible. No. God works with you to make it possible. As if you can dare to dream with God, God will do big things with you. And as you dare to dream with God, you don't go to your room to sleep. You continue to work. Like the text we read. So for the Lord himself shall prosper us. Therefore, let us rise to build. Do you see it? Because the Lord will prosper us, we rise to build. We put our hand to work. We put our hand to work. We put our hand to work. So you cannot afford to be lazy. You can't afford to be lazy. You can't afford to stop dreaming. You have to be dreaming and dreaming. Hey, come on, say, I dream.
I see.
Your voice doesn't sound like you dream and you see. Your posture doesn't look like it. I dream.
I see.
Kebakata. Bakabala baba. Pause. We are going to pray for 10 minutes. And you must pray well. You must pray well. I say you must pray well. You see, you must pray well. You must pray well. Or you are not praying like there's a vision in your heart. You see, global icons, I thought you shout the better glory.
Glory!
It's an opportunity to achieve something great for God. Anything you've done for God, this is an opportunity for you to tell yourself, I'm going to do 10 times. And the reason the word 10 times came was, is a word that loves to concern Daniel. He said, for Daniel was 10 times better. 10 times better. Do you hear me?
Yes.
10 times better. So whatever I have done, I have to do 10 times. 10 times achievement. Whatever I have given, this is the time to give 10 times. Do you hear what I said? And it's called 10 times dimension of influence. 10 times influence wonder. Do you hear what I said? Because influence is a powerful thing in the kingdom. When God gives you influence, you cannot be poor. I'm telling you. The people of the world, they have to make money to get the influence. And we are not the people of this world. And that is why you must press on to doing great things for God. To have great influence. God is bringing you out of your corner. Hey, God is bringing you out of your corner. 10 times influence wonder. I do 10 times better. I do 10 times better. I give 10 times better. Sheba Katalaya. In 1 month. In 1 month. I do 10 times better. In 1 month. I do 10 times better. Praise the Lord. I'm reading one scripture and then we pray. Listen, anything the people of this world are doing, we will do 10 times better. Hey, come on. Come on, you didn't hear what I said. Anything the people of this world are doing, we will do 10 times better. Someone will say that, are we trying to compete with them? You can say we are trying to compete with them. We don't care. All we care is that we will do 10 times better. He said, Daniel 1 verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. There were magicians and astrologers. And these are people that fuel the things that happen in this world. Astrologers and magicians. If you're talking about magicians, we're not talking about this British Got Talent magician. We are talking about those who, fortune tellers, spiritualists.
These spiritualists that I'm talking about, they are not those in the bush with leaves on their lip. They are in suit and tie.
I shared with the brethren in Allegon, one of our meetings.
I said, they are in suit and tie. They are in high places. They are those behind these musicians. They control most of these big events. I said, whatever they do, we do 10 times better. They target the youth, we target the youth.
As they are fighting for the souls of the youth, we also claim the souls of the youth for Jesus.
And listen, they are not going after 20 youth, 30 youth. They are going after youth in their thousands and their millions. We are going after the youth in their tens and thousands, in their millions. I said, whatever they do, we do 10 times better. Lift your voice. If you feel like clapping, you clap. If you feel like shouting, you shout. I do 10 times better. Come on, lift your voice. Pray like one who wants to do 10 times better.
Through global icons, we do 10 times better. We do 10 times better.
Sheva sopratos kaba, pratiskova shaprateske, likosko barataskiva, hiba shavrateske labaha. Kebaraba shandelebos, rakatosa, pelengro toskava. Make sure you lift your voice in prayer. Come on, pray with passion. I'm ready for the next level. I'm ready for the next level. Kebros kavala sekto brakeshka, razul prates kela makatos, malegos kovala bashambreketa. Reconzito Pradis, Rakekova Sapalashke. We do 10 times better. Ia Kabala Sondere Kafrate, Recombra Kaskavalabashe, Legos Kabaratas Kovalabaya, Reba Sombretoski Rakeshka, Izonta Prataskovalashte, Abaligos Kavalanteloski. Resombre Koskava. Masonda Labasandeke. Ikabalaba sobre Kaskavalaya. Raraba Shandere de Bos. Ikabaso Prataska. Ralele Moski Vase. Eguska Brataski Va. Regonske Labataske. Ikoso Franoske. Rekabala Rabase, Rekabala Barase, Rekabala Barase, Rekabala Barase, Rakelo Boshi, Ravala Masali, Kapandele Boshali, Rakalo Boskepa, Pralema Zavalaya, Rabalando Rosco Balaba, Rekababa Shanda Balaba. This is our season. This is our season to do 10 times better. Pavalaba Shabra Ketaske Pavalama Shaka Balalabate. Come on! Shekahatakaba Rabasotalaba. The Lord is handing over 2,000 or plus, 2,000 more people, 2,000 more people, 2,000 more people, 2,000 more people. Maleketos. Que basa bala la machabre de bosque, recos cavala basa, rate, e cabaso patasque, reconde le baja, rababato, e cavala bato, e zumbrequeta, racabalasha, e valabasha, e cabala lava, rabala lava, e bala lava, cabala lava, rate, 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 que baba baba, que baba baba, que baba baba. Ke baba baba, ke baba baba, rakata baya, rabala baba, rabala baba. Justo kapa, ikata la baha.
Thank you, Jesus. We do 10 times better. That is how I think. That is how I think. That is how I think. I do 10 times better. I am committed to see great things happen. I am committed. I am committed. I am diligent. Whether I am being supervised or I am not being supervised, I am diligent. Oh, Shekabaya. Oh, Jesus. I do 10 times better. Makabaya, Sumbalabaya. Glory to God.